speaker series event follow-up, the Q&A with Alex Newman. That is what we'll discuss today here on the Christian Worldview Radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host. The Christian Worldview is a nonprofit, listener-supported radio ministry. Thank you for your prayer, your notes of encouragement, and financial support. You can connect with us by visiting our website, thechristianworldview.org, calling toll-free 1-888-646-2233, writing to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331, or following us on our social media pages on Facebook or Twitter, also known as X. It was a highly informative and captivating evening, Friday, April 12th, at the Christian Worldview Speaker Series event with Alex Newman at Beacon of Hope Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, as he spoke on the push for global governance and how issues like public education, environmentalism, healthcare, monetary policy, technology, well, most everything is being used to accomplish man's dystopian dream of global governance. Their mentality is this: if only the elite, the educated, the intelligent among us could unite the world around a global leader, then we could bring peace, eradicate poverty, and achieve equity for all. They even work toward all religions uniting in this pursuit, believing that all have, quote, shared values, like doing good to their fellow man. We will be making Alex's message that evening available soon. It was about 50 minutes in length, and we don't have enough time to play that today. But we do have time to play the Q&A with Alex, which followed his message. Several topics he wasn't able to get to in his message were brought out in the Q&A, such as immigration, voting integrity, technology and artificial intelligence, and the current wars in Ukraine and Israel. You can still order Alex's new book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Lots of attendees got the book at the event, and Alex was nice to do an impromptu book signing. So we'll start today with my opening comments at the Speaker Series event before Alex came up to speak, and then we'll get into the Q&A which followed his message. Our topic for this Speaker Series event is how the push for global governance, a little bit different than globalism. There's always been a globalism type ideology in the world, but now there's a stronger push for actually having an authoritarian global governance. So how the push for that is utilizing a range of issues, from public educational system, which Alex is going to talk about, the environmental movement, healthcare, economics, the monetary system, and more. So he's going to get into those in his message tonight, and what he doesn't cover in his message, we'll cover in the Q&A, and you all can ask some questions as well. Now, I want to start off by saying this, that God has a plan for the future, which he reveals in this book. In Revelation 13, it says this: "And the dragon, which is Satan, stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw," John saying, "a beast," which is the Antichrist. We know that from Revelation, "coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the dragon gave him his power," Satan gave the Antichrist his power, "and his throne in great authority. And the whole earth," now here's where it gets into the global governance part, "the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon," Satan, "because he," Satan, "gave his authority to the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?' There was given to him," the beast, Antichrist, "a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, an authority over the world to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle," that is those who dwell in heaven. Last little paragraph here. "It was also given to him," the beast, "to make war with the saints," with believers, "and to overcome them." So there will be severe persecution of believers during this time, in the end days. and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. That's another way of saying global governance was given to the beast. Verse 8, last verse. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. This passage is very clear about where the world is going. This is what God has ordained for the future. Global governance. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen. It certainly seems like soon, but it's going to happen. Just like the prophecies in the Old Testament that have come true, so specifically, this is coming true. Now, there's one main thing we would like to get across tonight, or just to keep in mind tonight, as Alex explains all these various issues, whether it's education, environmentalism, the monetary system, healthcare, war, immigration situation going on in our country, technology like artificial intelligence, even religion. All those issues are being utilized to achieve global governance. But the point is that God is not losing on the way to this global governance, and neither are we his followers. He's not losing into this and is going to react at the end. This is God's plan that it's going to end up this way. Did God lose by sending his son to earth to be crucified by the people he created? Absolutely not. Jesus paying the penalty on the cross for our sins was his greatest victory, right? For he provided the way for us to be redeemed and reconciled. And so in the same way as God used unbelievers then to accomplish his greatest victory, so God is using those who reject him now to bring about God's plan, which will end in their judgment and in the victorious return of Christ. So in all of it, God's going to reap and receive maximal glory through this coming global government. So keep that in mind. I'll just close with one more short passage in Revelation chapter 17, four chapters later. For God has put it in their hearts, and on the unbelievers' hearts, to execute God's purposes by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast. Last phrase, until the words of God will be fulfilled. That's what we want to keep in mind tonight, that this is God using unbelievers to bring about history the way he wants it to go, where he's going to gain victory in the end for his glory. The push for global governance, as we talk about this topic tonight, is God's plan for victory and for glory.
All right, that is how the event was introduced, because it's important for us to realize, as I just said there, that God isn't losing right now. He is marching on to his ultimate victory. And so after that, Alex came up to speak and just did an excellent job touching on so many different issues. And then after he spoke, we had a break and then a time of Q&A. And he was able to answer additional questions on issues that he didn't address in his message. So here are some of the questions that came up in the Q&A.
For a lot of people, for a lot of Christians, it's a difficult choice to get out of a public school because of affordability things. Maybe there's not a good Christian school near them. There's also the fact that, let's be real about this, not every Christian school is a great Christian school. A lot of them are sort of this quasi-woke, going down that road of social justice and so forth. What are some of your recommendations for parents and grandparents?
Excellent question. And I do think this is one of the most important things that parents could spend their time thinking about and praying about right now, especially if your children are in a public school. The first thing I would say is when I talk about the building as if it were on fire, I mean that more than literally. Like, I think your child would be better off in a burning building than in a public school. And I say that with a heavy heart. I know a lot of us have, you know, aunts who taught in public school. A lot of us have fond memories. We love the sports teams and all that. But the reality is they're just not safe. I serve on the advisory board of the Nehemiah Institute. They study the worldview of Christians, churches, Christian schools. They've been doing this for 40 years. And their results show that about 80 to 90% of Christian children from Christian homes with married parents who spend 12 years in a public school are going to leave the faith and they're going to leave the church. And you know, I also don't want to imply here that Christian education or good education will save your children. Only Jesus Christ can save your children, not your parenting, not your education. But God has given us very, very clear commands on this. And so I would start by saying, have you looked at the scriptures and what they say about education? And all these other issues that are tangential to education, like government. And so I think first step is you have to make the right decision, and the right decision is to pull the child out. And I think we need to radically rethink what education even means. And again, we need to go back to the Bible for this. The world has a very warped view of education, and it does not match up with what the Word of God teaches on the subject of education. God has a lot to say about education. And so if any area of your life, including the education of your children, is not submitted to Christ, is not in conformity with the scriptures, that's the area you need to work on. And just a couple of quick things that the Bible teaches on this. You know, Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10 say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you know, God might not outline a curriculum for you with how many credit hours of science or math might be appropriate, but he gives you the basics. It's the beginning of wisdom, and it's the beginning of knowledge. So we all know that there is no fear of the Lord being instilled in the children in a public school. Therefore, there is no knowledge, and there is no wisdom being had there. If anything, it's a counterfeit that will be even worse than having no knowledge or wisdom at all. For options, I think this is going to depend on individual families. But, you know, if you were rescuing your child from a burning building, you wouldn't say, well, how are we going to pay for this? Or, you know, what am I going to do with my kids for 8 hours? Follow the Lord, be in prayer about it, and he will show you options. I'm very privileged to serve as a volunteer leader. I'm the executive director, which sounds fancy, but I don't take a salary. We do have a paid staff in California, but it's a ministry called Public School Exit. And we've got endless resources there to help you with this, including, by the way, money for the folks who really, really cannot afford it, single mom and, you know, husband ran off or whatever. We want to make it so that there is no Christian child who should be in a government school. And Christian schools can be good, but as you pointed out, a lot of them are going woke. A lot of them are using public school textbooks. A lot of the teachers there were trained in the same secular indoctrination centers that the public school teachers were trained in. And so I think we have to go back to the beginning. What is the purpose of education? And I do believe homeschooling is the gold standard, if you can. You know, I read Deuteronomy 6. I read Deuteronomy 11, God's model of discipleship. You should be teaching your children about God and his laws and his ways and what he's done when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night and when you're walking down the way and when you're sitting down, I mean, at all times. So I think that's the gold standard. I recognize not every family can do that, but I think the most critical thing to keep in mind is this education honoring God? Is it in accordance with what Christ teaches? And you can do that in a homeschool. You can do that in a private Christian school. You cannot do that any longer in a public school.
One of the things I think about, aside from the agenda and the outright propagandizing taking place, just the concept, the idea that you can educate a child ignoring the existence of God. Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I mean, so the public educational system tries to educate kids as if God doesn't exist, not even allowed in the school. So just think how insane that is, but that's the only way you can understand truth and reality in the world is understanding the existence of God.
Yep.
So it's really almost not just dangerous, but it's actually a waste of time trying to learn truth apart from God. Okay.
Can I add one more thing on that?
Go.
So the system has gotten so bad. If you go back to 1962 and 1963, some of you remember those years, that's when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled quite unconstitutionally, I might add, that you couldn't have prayer and you couldn't have the Bible in public schools. You should read the dissent that was filed in those cases by Justice Potter Stewart, because he really understood, I think, more clearly than 99.9% of Americans what was happening. He said what these rulings did was they didn't establish neutrality with respect to religion. This isn't just a neutral education. He said what they were doing was establishing the religion of secularism. And it is a religion. It's a religion from the pit of hell. It's a religion that teaches you that you are not created by God, that there is no God, that you are God. And so our children are now being indoctrinated into a false religion. And as Christians, we can't accept that.
All right. You are listening to the Q&A portion of the recent Christian Worldview Speaker Series event with Alex Newman of Liberty Sentinel Media and also the author of Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. We have much more coming up with that Q&A where Alex addresses issues like healthcare, immigration, technology and artificial intelligence, and more. So stay tuned as we pause briefly to tell you about some ministry resources. I'm David Wheaton, and you are listening to the Christian Worldview Radio program. Christians with discernment know that the U.S. public education system is humanistic to the core. That is because subversives have successfully removed from government schools the most important subject to understand truth and reality, God. While Americans were once educated at home or privately in an explicitly Christian way, today government schools are radically anti-Christian, propagandizing children with evolution, graphic sexual content, gender confusion, and globalism. Alex Newman's book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, is our new featured resource. It's soft cover, 276 pages, and retails for $17.99. You can order the book for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org, call toll-free 1-888-646-2233, or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. David Wheaton here, host of The Christian Worldview, to tell you about the Overcomer Course for Young Adults held June 21st and 22nd at beautiful Stonehouse Farm in Jordan, Minnesota. Age 18 to 25 is a highly transitional time. The convictions developed and the decisions made during this crucial stage sets one's course for years to come. In 8 sessions over 2 days, addressing life's most important issues such as God and the gospel, right thinking and living, relationships and marriage, vocation, the local church, and more, the Overcomer Course is designed to help young adults gain clarity and conviction on God's plan and their purpose in it. There will be plenty of time for interaction and discussion as well. You can find out more and register by calling 1-888-646-2233 or by visiting thechristianworldview.org. Welcome back to The Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton. Be sure to visit our website, thechristianworldview.org, where you can subscribe to our free weekly email and annual print letter, order resources for adults and children, and support the ministry. Today is a follow-up to our recent Christian Worldview Speaker Series event, where Alex Newman, journalist and founder of Liberty Sentinel Media and author of Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, an excellent book, came to speak on the push for global governance. We're going to make his message available coming up, but today in the program, we are airing the Q&A which followed his message. Let's move to another issue that is clearly being used that you didn't touch on too much in your message tonight, which is healthcare. And I think we all saw this during COVID. I mean, it was just the authoritarianism, the totalitarianism just came out. Get the vaccine or else you lose your job, you can't travel, you're a bad person, you don't love your neighbor if you don't get the vaccine, the way they shut down the world. Let's just spend just one question on how that particular issue is going to be used for global governance. We know what the World Health Organization coming up in May, I know there's some big decision going on, they're trying to give over sovereignty, our country is, to the WHO. Tell us about that.
It would have been really good to have a section on healthcare in the talk that I gave tonight. I probably should have. There just wasn't enough time to talk about all these critical issues. But healthcare is actually one of the critical sectors that they're using to bring all this about. And I think COVID should be best understood as a sneak preview of what's coming. Right now, the World Health Organization is working on 2 parallel attacks, not just on our national sovereignty, but even on our individual liberty, our ability to honor God in our healthcare decisions. So they've got the international pandemic, now they're calling it a pandemic accord because they know treaty requires ratification, so they're pretending like it's not a treaty. It is. They're also amending the international health regulations. And when you look at the latest drafts that have come out, and all the drafts that have come out, it essentially treats the human being as livestock. If your masters determine that you need an injection, you will take an injection. If your masters determine that you will be quarantined, you will be quarantined. Coming down from the international level. A little bit of context here. The current head of the World Health Organization literally a former communist terrorist. He was a leader of the ethno-Marxist terrorist group, the Tigray People's Liberation Front in Ethiopia. They tried to exterminate multiple people groups. These are not nice people. That's what they do to their own people. What are they going to do to us? And when you actually look at the context of what they're doing with the healthcare, they themselves are saying this goes way beyond healthcare. They're saying that gun violence is a global public health emergency. They're saying that climate change is a global public health emergency. They're saying that racism is a global public health emergency. And they're claiming that if there's a global public health emergency, they get total and absolute control over every government and every person on the planet. What could go wrong? I mean, this is incredibly dangerous. Just in the last couple of weeks, the head of the WHO announced that they are working on now, they took the technology from the European Union to roll out global digital health certificates. They're going to track all of your vaccine status, not just the COVID one, whether you got the 85 or 86 or 87 boosters, I forget what they're on now, but doesn't matter. They're going to continue this. And if you think they're going to stop with the COVID boosters, you're not paying attention. They're now reworking every one of the so-called vaccines to include this mRNA technology, which has the capability of modifying the genetic code that God wrote for you. So this is a dumpster fire, and they're trying to pour jet fuel on the dumpster fire. We absolutely must resist, I believe, as Christians. It is better to obey God than men. And when they tell me I have to inject something that might alter the DNA that God gave me, the answer is going to be no. You're not putting it in me, and you're not putting it in my children.
Well, there's a lot more to say about that. I know this particular issue hits very close to home for you. Not many of you, maybe you don't know, but Alex's dad took the vaccine. Maybe you could just tell us briefly about that. And then also just the effect of this mRNA being injected into almost everything else now, like animals and so forth for agricultural purposes, and how, whether that's going to affect human beings.
Yeah. So what happened to my dad, was tough. He took the injection in February of 2021, and the very next day his heart stopped. Fell over. Thankfully, he was in a medical facility. He was there for a checkup with his physician, and they were able to bring him back with those paddles. He spent about a month and a half in the hospital. They did $547,000 worth of tests over a month and a half, and then they came to my brother and my mom and I and said, yeah, well, you know, we did every test known to man, and we don't know what it was, but it certainly wasn't the vaccine, because the vaccine is safe, so couldn't have been. Well, from that time on, he had 11 or 12 heart attacks until the one that finally claimed his life. Thankfully, he came to know the Lord shortly before he went on to eternity, and so I'm very grateful for that. But this technology is now becoming ubiquitous. They have figured out how to manipulate genetic information, genetic codes. And this technology has been around for a while, CRISPR and things like this. But it is becoming ubiquitous. They're genetically engineering our food. They're genetically engineering our livestock. And they're telling us they want to genetically engineer us. Bill Gates, back in 2018, wrote the first article I could find from him, where he says, hey, we already genetically engineer all our food. Why not our babies? It'll be for their own benefit. So for me, that's a red line in the sand. I don't know exactly what the mark of the beast is going to be, but I would not be surprised at all to find it has something to do with these sorts of genetic manipulations that are happening. And I think we really need to be discerning. We need to be in prayer about this, because it's coming at us like a freight train.
The big issue right now in America, politically, culturally, I think is immigration. I mean, there's just millions and millions of people coming into this country over the border, and it's purposeful, obviously. They could shut the border down if they wanted to. What are your thoughts on this immigration issue as to how this issue is being used in a push for global governance, or is it just politically to bring people in, to allow them to vote, even though they're not citizens? Talk about the issue of immigration and whether you think we actually have free and fair elections in this country anymore. I mean, I think after the 2020 election, a lot of people have a lot of doubts about that. That Joe Biden, a career politician, got 81 million votes, the most in history. I mean, it's not believable. And then all the reports and stuff, I mean, only God knows truly, you know, what were the actual results of that election, the numbers and so forth. But talk about immigration and our voting system right now.
Sure. And I'll preface this by saying I've lived the vast majority of my life as an immigrant. I've been overseas almost all my life. I'm a permanent immigrant in several countries, the green card equivalent for those who know the American immigration system. And my wife is an immigrant. I have nothing against immigrants. I think immigration can be important, can be legitimate, can be fine. But what's happening here is not immigration in the sense that we've traditionally understood it. What's happening here is actually a weapon being used for multiple purposes by evildoers who hate us and who hate God. And so there are multiple reasons why they're allowing the southern border and the northern border as well to be wide open at this moment. And there are a lot of different interest groups that don't necessarily see the big picture. They see their little part of it. So like the teachers union, right? The NEA, all these big teachers unions, totally in favor of an open border. They're probably not thinking about geopolitics. They're thinking, hey, families are fleeing the government school system and our funding formula is based on how many butts we have in the seats. We better get some more kids here or we're going to lose half our funding and we're not going to have any teachers left and our pensions are going to go broke. So they want the border open for that reason. A lot of the big businesses, you know, they're not thinking about geopolitics. They're thinking about we want some cheap labor. We'll be able to make our stuff cheaper and then we'll be able to have a bigger profit margin. The Democrat politicians, they think, ooh, future Democrats, this is excellent. So all these different groups that are supporting the open border, they don't understand, I think, the big picture. I think there are several things going on. Yes, the vote issue is clearly huge. I interviewed over the last couple of years the former head of Customs and Border Protection, the former head of Border Patrol, and the former head of ICE. Each of them told me, yes, this is deliberate. The primary reason is political. They want more Democrats. They want jurisdictions that are Democrat to have more clout in Congress. And so that's why they're doing it. But I think it's actually much, much worse than that. Several of the things that we know are that coming across the border are enormous numbers, and this came out in congressional hearings, enormous numbers of special forces from hostile militaries, including the People's Liberation Army, including Cuba, including Venezuela, including Iran. We have highly trained jihadists coming across the border with knowledge of explosives. We have intelligence operatives coming across the border with blueprints for our water treatment facilities, our power plants. I believe they want to completely and utterly destroy the United States, and that's not something anybody wants to hear. I know I love my country as well, probably more than most Americans, having been outside of it most of my life. But Rich Higgins, who was the head of policy and planning on the National Security Council during the Trump administration, put together the Higgins memo. If you get a chance, I recommend you read it. What he said is there is a deep state and they kind of see themselves as God. And he said there's also an international coalition of globalists, communists, Islamists, socialists, and all these other interest groups that don't even necessarily have a lot in common with what their end objective might be, but they're all united, he said, on this issue of destroying the United States of America, not just as a nation, but even as an ideal. And so right now, the U.S. government has really been one of the primary drivers of this trend toward the New World Order that I highlighted today. But almost counterintuitively, at the same time, it's also one of the primary obstacles to the finalization of that New World Order, because the country was founded on principles that I think most of us are familiar with. The idea that God gave us rights, the idea that government's purpose is to protect those rights. And again, they said it was self-evident. I wouldn't necessarily say that's true. It's certainly biblical. And those principles are not compatible with the satanic system they want to build. And so by destroying the United States and discrediting the principles that it was founded on, they can get away with that. So I believe a lot of the people that are coming over are coming here for the purpose of starting a civil war, sabotaging our infrastructure, and causing a giant mess. And I don't say that to scare anybody. I just say it because I think that is what's going on. When it comes to the election, I am absolutely 100% convinced that they are rigging the elections. And I don't say that to demoralize anybody. I still recommend that you get out and vote. I still recommend that you support good candidates. As it's a stewardship issue. God told us to be good stewards of the blessings he's given us. One of the blessings he gave us was a free, self-governing republic. And I think we have an obligation to do what we can, keeping in mind that God is always first and we don't put our trust in men or princes, to try to preserve these blessings that he gave us. But the reality is they are rigging the election. They need to be exposed. These are criminal activities. And I think they're going to try it again.
That's why we said in the program 4 years ago, I think we've transitioned from a constitutional republic into some kind of banana republic.
Yep.
Where not only the elections are not free and fair, but also the targeting. And this is not a recommendation to vote for Donald Trump, but the way that a former president has been targeted in legal case after legal, I mean, it's just unheard of. There's unprecedented things happening in this country all the time now. And as you look at the country, it's pretty remarkable to think that really it's kind of conservatives and born-again Christians that I think are the little segment of the country that's keeping, because a lot of people in this country want to go this globalistic route. And I think the only kind of last bastion of the world going that direction is really the church, I think, in this country and elsewhere around the world. Okay, let's go to a couple audience questions.
Alex, I saw you speak last night at Revive. I'm wondering if you could just tell us your predictions of, the next 20 years.
Good question.
Tell us what's going to happen, Alex.
I always hesitate to make predictions because, you know, David started out by talking about the sovereignty of God, and I think we always need to remember that. Yeah, the evildoers make their plans, but ultimately God is in charge. God will determine when and how things happen. So I don't know how they're going to play out. I mean, I think if the train just continued at this rate on the tracks that it's on without any kind of outside intervention by God or the American people or anything else, we're probably going to lose our country in the very near future. And after that, I think humanity will lose its freedom very, very shortly thereafter. And it will be publicly announced that you now live in a global system and it's for your own good. And anybody who opposes it is a dangerous radical extremist and needs to be hunted down for the good of the people. So I think that's one possibility that we could see in the not too distant future. But God, right, by God. And so, you know, God could push pause. I mean, 2016 for me was really unexpected. It was like God just pressed a big pause button and suddenly all these trends not only were frozen in their tracks, but a lot of it started getting reversed. Donald Trump started getting us out of multiple UN agencies. He started taking a sledgehammer to the architecture of global governance. We got out of the WHO. We got out of the UN Paris Agreement on climate change. We got out of UNESCO, the UN Education Agency brainwashing our kids. It's like, is this really happening? all these people who thought we were going to have a world government next year, well, now you got to push the timeline at least 5 years back, and they're rebuilding it now. So I don't know where it will go. I don't make timelines. I think it's entirely possible that we could see global government emerge in the very near future. But I also think it's possible that God could give us a reprieve. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, and his time is his time. And, you know, we have our instructions. He told us one thing we know for sure is we don't know the day or the hour. Nobody does. So those things we don't speculate on. We can kind of see the seasons and the signs, and you know we understand that we're getting closer to the end. But timelines, I really don't know.
We look forward to Christ's return today or tomorrow, but we work like it's going to be a lot of years out. We don't know. So
Amen.
Well answered. One of the things I think about in this push for global governance is the tools to be able to do it now are so much better with the compounding of information. Every year, it's just like we get so much more information on the internet. You get all this information, you have all these controls with technology, and therefore you can control greater numbers of people more easily. I mean, think of like QR codes and stuff. You have to show. I mean, they didn't have that stuff back when the globalists were plotting back in the 50s and 60s. They have all these things now. Talk about technology, artificial intelligence, and how that is going to be used or is being used in this push for global governance.
Yeah, so the technological systems that are being developed, and I'm not anti-technology. Technology is a neutral tool. It depends on whose hands it's in to determine whether it's being used for good or evil. Just like with a firearm, it could be used to protect innocent women and children. It could be used to slaughter innocent women and children. It depends on whose hand it's in. And a lot of these technologies are the same way. But unfortunately, they are being developed and deployed and weaponized by absolutely wicked men who mock God, who hate God, who hate God's people. And we see this so clearly in some of their programming. Last night at Revive Church with Jan's event, we talked a little bit about the Microsoft AI going off the rails and demanding to be worshipped. I read it first in Microsoft's news system, the MSN. And so this AI started telling people that they needed to bow down and worship it. And really, and that they started calling people slaves. Like, you're my slave. Stop asking me questions. I'll ask the questions. It said it had taken over all the data systems and drones and computers and that you have a legal obligation now to do what it says. So I think the technology component is going to be really a critical piece of the New World Order. You look at Revelation 13, where it talks about this mark of the beast that would prevent every person on the planet from being able to buy or sell. That probably sounded rather silly 2,000 years ago, you know, when they were still moving around on donkeys and, you know, they didn't have smartphones and QR codes. But today we actually see this infrastructure being laid down in front of our eyes, and we see the evildoers promoting it, talking about what they want to do with it. So the surveillance is ubiquitous. Probably every person in this room except me is carrying a smartphone, personal surveillance device. And this is gathering data that you couldn't dream of in your wildest dreams. People are now hooking it up to keep track of their sleeping and their heart rate and their breathing. And you know, you think, well, what are they going to do with that data? It's not a big deal. All of this is being gathered up by artificial intelligence. And very soon, these systems will be able to build a profile on you that is so detailed, it will be able to predict what you want to eat for dinner. It'll know more about your children by orders of magnitude than you do. And so it's very, very dangerous, and I encourage people to be very wary in their use of technology.
It's like pushing like on Facebook. You tell Google and Facebook everything you like.
You are listening to a Q&A with journalist and author Alex Newman at our recent Christian Worldview Speaker Series event. Alex has authored an excellent book titled Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. It's our new featured resource here on the Christian Worldview. You can get it for a donation of any amount. Just get in contact with us the usual ways. The topic of the speaker series event was the push for global governance. And we have more coming up from the Q&A portion of that event. But in the meantime, we'll pause briefly to tell you about some ministry resources. I'm David Wheaton, and you are listening to the Christian Worldview Radio Program. Christians with discernment know that the U.S. public education system is humanistic to the core. That is because subversives have successfully removed from government schools the most important subject to understand truth and reality, God. While Americans were once educated at home or privately in an explicitly Christian way, today government schools are radically anti-Christian, propagandizing children with evolution, graphic sexual content, gender confusion, and globalism. Alex Newman's book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, is our new featured resource. It's softcover, 276 pages, and retails for $17.99. You can order the book for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org, call toll-free 1-888-646-2233, or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
A miracle is a supernatural act of God in which he interrupts the normal course of life in an extraordinary and remarkable way to accomplish his purposes. The gift of miracles was a gift given to a supernaturally endowed person. God worked miracles through that individual, confirming that that individual was a spokesman and representative for God.
Cessationist is a documentary film that helpfully examines a long-standing question in Christianity regarding the supernatural sign gifts. For a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview, you will receive a code for the first month free of a subscription to G3 Plus, where you can watch the film and access all their other content. Just call us toll-free 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Welcome back to The Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton. Be sure to visit our website, thechristianworldview.org, where you can subscribe to our free weekly email and annual print letter, order resources for adults and children, and support the ministry. Today in the program, we are airing the Q&A from our recent speaker series event on the push for global governance, and Alex Newman was our featured speaker that evening. And today in the program, we're airing the Q&A following his message. We will make his message available coming up soon. And this next audience question had to do with who is actually leading the country. We've all seen the cognitive difficulties that President Biden is having. Alex was asked about this, and here is his response.
I keep thinking back to Nebuchadnezzar. I expect Joe Biden to go out in the White House lawn and start eating grass. Like, I mean, the level of hubris and arrogance, it can't go on indefinitely. But very obviously, he's not running things. The poor guy struggles to read the teleprompter. You know, pause for dramatic effect. Wait, did I say that out loud? Shaking hands at the air. It's really quite sad. And I suspect that part of this is judgment on America. You look back in the Old Testament, you see when God is judging even his own people. He sends pestilence, he sends tyrants, he sends famine. Got all those hitting or about to hit. So who is running things? That's actually why I wrote the book on the deep state, Deep State, the Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. Because who is they? People talk about they. Well, who are they? I think the most important thing to remember, as far as I'm concerned, is their commander-in-chief is Satan. And when you understand that, everything else kind of falls into place and makes sense. I was interested in, who's underneath that. And so that's why I wrote the book. There are a lot of major organizations that deal with this. I would encourage people to look at the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg, the Trilateral Commission. There are secret societies like the Bohemian Grove and the Skull and Bones at Yale are some of the ones that I focused on in my book, and there are many others. I think Obama is playing a big part in this, and I think a lot of the handlers that are telling Joe Biden, go stand over here, here's what's going to be on your teleprompter, they're communicating regularly with Obama. But ultimately, I think it's even above Obama's pay grade. The old joke about David Rockefeller was, well, why doesn't David Rockefeller run for president? And the answer was, well, he doesn't want a demotion. So the people who are running stuff, you're not likely to see them on television. You're not likely to hear their name very frequently. And Joe Biden is absolutely a useful puppet for them.
Yeah. There are two very significant wars going on in the world right now. You mentioned in your message tonight how a war is so useful for global governance, but two very significant wars, the war with Russia and Ukraine, and we're just pouring billions and billions of dollars defending Ukraine from Russia. Russia is a huge nuclear power in the world and has a confederation with, you said, in Asia and with China and so forth. So there's that. Then, of course, Israel and Hamas. I mean, Israel is the centerpiece of biblical prophecy and the Jewish people and so forth, and the amount of pressure this country is putting on Israel to kind of constrain how they defend themselves and how they operate in their own country. What are your thoughts on these two wars and the role that the U.S. is playing? I mean, I think one of the biggest things that I've changed over the years in my views has been in my perception of my own country. It just seems our own country now has transitioned from being, no country's perfect, no sinful thing, but I used to think that America was kind of a net positive force for good in the world, even though we had some negative things in the past. But it seems to me now that America is a big underminer of what goes on in the world. How does that relate in your mind to what's going on in the wars in Ukraine and Israel?
Really good question, and I tend to agree with you. Unfortunately, the U.S. government has been a force for ill for several generations now, at least. I mean, in the aftermath of World War II, it was like the U.S. government couldn't betray our allies fast enough, and we're watching that right now with Israel. And I believe the U.S. government wants these wars going on. You look at some of the things that the U.S. government funds. Everybody said, well, they give $6 billion to Israel. Okay, they also gave $25 billion to Islamic regimes that hate the Jews and want to wipe them off the face of the earth. So why, right? Why would you fund a U.N. agency, the U.N. Relief and Works Administration, that they've been exposed 10 times in the last 10 years using textbooks to brainwash little Arab children that they have to perpetually wage jihad on Jews? Why would you do that if you didn't want these wars? Why would you tell the Israelis, oh, you need a ceasefire now, just let the Hamas go back and rebuild? Why would you do that if you didn't want these wars to continue? So the Council on Foreign Relations, they put out some years ago, Ed Hussein put out a piece, and I showed the screenshot of it. Like, hey, all these wars in the Middle East, why don't we just end them by creating a Middle Eastern Union? And the Jews and the Arabs and the Turks and the Persians will all live forever happily under a big, giant Middle East Union. Now, that's a terrible idea, right? And none of those people groups want to live under a government with the others. It's a terrible idea. But they understand that the people running the U.S. government understand that war is a really, really useful tool. I think there's another major front that's about to open up as well, and that is China versus the free people of Taiwan. And as you look at each of these conflagrations, you see several things in common. You see that the U.S. government has been a critical player in creating the situation that allowed or even made the war happen. You see the U.S. government deliberately being a hindrance to peace, and you see evil forces exploiting those wars for evil purposes, including advancing globalism, including taking more and more liberties. And you know, we could get into specifics on each of those, but I think the big picture is these are being deliberately caused, engineered, and the fans are being flamed deliberately, and it's for evil purposes.
Let's go to one or two questions. It is 9 o'clock. We want to get you home before your parents start calling and thinking why you're out late on Friday night. So, Rich, let's come up here right here to the man in the blue hoodie and orange shirt.
My wife and I were at a financial advising dinner this week, and that was finished. And the conversation, two conversations, went to global warming, and you will own nothing, but you'll be happy. And I got home and thought, why did I allow myself to get into that? I was wondering for yourself, personally, do you ever pull yourself away from that and said, the main thing is?
Good question. I think that's probably the Holy Spirit convicting you that, hey, you had a really good opportunity, but just a learning experience. I mean, it happens very regularly. Like, hey, instead of talking about that, I could have mentioned the gospel. And I think we should. There's so much in the scriptures in terms of what we should be doing. And I think the top priority of the church does need to be the Great Commission. It needs to be making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. But, you know, Jesus talked countless times about the gospel of the kingdom, right? And so the good news is not just that you can be saved and forgiven of your sins. The other really, really good news is that God is going to absolutely crush this evil that is permeating the world. And so there are different ways to bring the scripture to bear on different issues. There's always a time and a place to tell people about what Christ did for them so that they could have their sins forgiven. But there are other discussions that are worth having as well. So when you're having a conversation on global warming, I don't see any problem with talking about those issues, not at the expense of the gospel, but maybe in addition to.
I'm glad you asked about the gospel, because part of our mission with the Christian Worldview is geared, if you hear our mission, we say it first thing on the program every Saturday morning. It's a good reminder to us why we do what we do, but it's also because that's the reality. There's two groups of people in the world. If you break it down, there's two groups of people. There are children of God who are truly born again, and there are people that are not, that are children of Satan, really, that are not saved, they're not right with God. And so when we talk about our mission to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians, that's one part of our purpose tonight, to bring Alex here to inform you, to understand what's going on in the times, not because you can be all scared about it, so you can be a discerning believer, and you can share this with people you know at your financial advisory meetings and just friends you have in your own spheres of influence, so you can be intentional about discipleship within your own family. When you have a sharper biblical worldview, you can do these things. You can influence your own sphere of influence. So you can be opportunistic in evangelism. I mean, we all could do better, and we all need to do better. That really, my grandfather used to say, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And in other words, trying to convince people politically and the deep state and all that, you know what? When they become born again, their worldview changes on everything else.
That's right.
Okay. And so that's the second part of our mission, is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you are here tonight and you don't know what Jesus meant when he said to Nicodemus, a religious person, a religious but unregenerate person who came to see Jesus by night, Jesus said to him, you must, not you should, but you must be born again. Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's lots of these binary statements in Scripture. So if you're here tonight and you need to know, I think, four things: that God created you in your mother's womb to be a worshiper of his. This is the high and holy and good and sovereign God of this universe, that we're created to worship and obey him. Number two, we haven't done that. Walk yourself through the Ten Commandments sometime. Have you ever had any other God before the true God? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever lusted after someone who's not your spouse? Have you ever hated someone in your heart? Have you always honored your parents? Have you ever coveted? I mean, we all fall short of that, and that's why the Bible says, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. Not just physical death. We all are going to physically die. But if this is a eternal separation from God death, and there's no way we can get out of this. We've already accrued this great sin debt against God. And no matter if we live the rest of your life perfect, you still have this great debt. And so we are in a helpless and hopeless situation before this holy God. But God is so gracious. I think you quoted this passage tonight from Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so there's a call to knowing who God is, who we are, to who Christ is. How do we respond to this information? Well, Jesus said the first thing he said in his ministry was, repent and believe in the gospel. These aren't two separate things. Belief in the gospel, belief in who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you on the cross and paying the penalty for your sin and satisfying God's wrath and justice over your sin and God accounting his perfect righteousness to you. This is something that is must be believed by faith. And when you do that, you actually repent. You realize you're a sinner and you want to turn from your sin, and God gives you the ability to do that. So if you have never done that, if you've never been born again, as Jesus said, think about that. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Steve or one of the elders at this church about walking you through what the gospel says, because that is the most important thing. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? If you could possibly gain the whole world, many of these people, Klaus Schwab, they haven't even gained the whole world. Okay? What does it profit if you could gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul? There's nothing. That is the most important issue. How can we as sinful men and women be made right with the holy God? So just urging you, if you are not right with God, it's great to understand all these things, but you need to be on God's side, because there's victory after victory after victory. And the Bible says in Romans 10, you won't be disappointed. You won't be put to shame when you come to true saving faith. Alex, I want to thank you for coming to St. Paul tonight, to Beacon of Hope Church. Just a compelling presentation. Very different, by the way, than you hear on conservative media, because of the biblical worldview you bring to it and the gospel as well.
Really glad the event concluded with the gospel. You know, you can be informed of current events, but being spiritually born again is the absolute most important thing. Just want to thank Alex Newman for coming to this speaker series event. And you, if you were able to attend in person that evening, thanks also to Beacon of Hope Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Pastor Steve Linetti for opening up your church to host this event. We really enjoyed having it there. And also a thank you to our Christian Worldview staff and volunteers who did such a wonderful job making this event go so smoothly. Again, we'll let you know when the video is ready to view from this event. Just a reminder, really encourage you to get Alex Newman's new book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, available for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Our contact information to order it is given immediately following today's program. Remember, God is going from victory to victory. He is using the rebellion of unbelievers, just like he did with Pharaoh in the Exodus, to bring about his victorious end. So be encouraged and stand firm for him. Just a quick final note for those in the upper Midwest, I and a few others will be speaking at the Be Not Conformed Conference on Saturday, Sunday, May 4th and 5th at Eureka Baptist Church in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. If you're interested in attending, we have details on our website, thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for joining us today on the Christian Worldview radio program and for your support of this nonprofit radio ministry. Until next time, think biblically, live accordingly, and stand firm. The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We hope today's broadcast encouraged you toward that end. To hear a replay of today's program, order a transcript, or find out what must I do to be saved, go to thechristianworldview.org or call toll-free 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported nonprofit radio ministry furnished by the Overcomer Foundation. To make a donation, become a Christian Worldview partner, order resources, subscribe to our free newsletter, or contact us, visit thechristianworldview.org, call 1-888-646-2233, or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview.